Thank you. Good morning, church. A very good morning to each and every one of you. Welcome to Sittingbourne Baptist Church. If this is your first time here, we want to especially welcome you. And we thank God that you are here and you are very special. And we want you to know that we are so grateful that you have joined us today. And this is a special day. It's always a special day whenever we meet together as a church, but it has a special, a little special feeling when we have baptisms, doesn't it? And we're grateful that we have four baptisms today. We were going to have five, but Carly has come down with a flu. She's under the weather, and she's unable to be with us this morning, but she will be baptized in the future. But we're grateful for the four candidates who will be baptized today, and we're looking forward to hearing their testimonies and the reasons why they want to be baptized. They're being baptized not out of compulsion, but by their own request. So we're looking forward to hearing their own personal testimonies of how Jesus Christ has impacted their lives. Amen. Now, before we go any further, we're just going to take this moment to have a word of prayer. Of course, I'm sure many of you would have heard on the news of what's going on in the Middle East, and what's taking place in Iran and in other countries across the Middle East. War is breaking out, and it's really devastating to see the loss of lives and the casualties. And although every effort is made in moments like this to have a targeted approach, but we know even when it's targeted, sometimes innocent civilians are caught up in the fighting. So we're going to pray, and we're so grateful that one of our worship team members, Irfan, this is his home country, Iran, and for a long period of time, he's been unable to get in contact with his family back in Iran. And just this week, he sent in our group to let us know that he was able to get in contact with his family. So we're grateful for that. Amen. But we're going to pray at this time for what's going on across the Middle East, and we're going to pray for God's peace to reign in the earth. And I want to encourage you before we pray that we really have a lot of power in our prayer, you know. Don't take it for granted and lightly that whenever we as God's church come together and pray, I've been taught as a young kid that prayer changes things. Prayer works. So whenever we pray together, don't just think, oh, it's just another time, we're just going to pray, but nothing's going to happen. But let's have faith. Our prayers can change things, even what's going on in these hot spots. So when we pray, let's not just pray out of routine, but let's pray with power and with faith, believing that our prayers, amen, can impact what's going on. Amen? Let's pray together. Righteous Father, we come before you now at this, the opening of our service, and we want to not think of ourselves, but we want to think of what's going on around the world. Lord, we stand in the gap. Lord, we stand in the gap ready, Lord, to pray and to seek your face for your peace to reign and for you, Lord, to intervene. Lord, for divine intervention to take place in the Middle East. We pray, Lord, for the governments, for those leaders, those officials who, Lord, are having to make these very, very grave and very, very difficult decisions. We pray, Lord, as your word says, that the government will be upon your shoulders, Jesus. That, Lord, that divine intervention would even hit those leaders. That those government officials, Lord, will be led by the wisdom from heaven and not from the wisdom of man. Lord, we ask, Lord, for you, Lord, to bring about peace and a speedily resolution. That, Lord, the fighting will stop, that the bombs will cease from falling, and that, Lord, innocent lives will be spared from the onslaught. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. And we know, Lord, that your word tells us that wars will come, that there is a time, Lord, and a season for war. But we do pray that your peace will prevail, and that this would not, Lord, be a long, Lord, projected, carried out war, but Lord, that this would be over very quickly, and that the fighting will stop and diplomacy will be the order of the day. So Lord, we just commit, Lord, this to you now. May there be peace in the Middle East, and may there be peace around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Please continue to pray for God's peace in our world. I want to call your attention to just two verses before we come to a time of song worship. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 28 and verse 29. Let's read it together. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. I love this. We're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Isn't that good news? Although things get a little bit topsy-turvy in our world, and things can be shaken in our world today, but the good news is that the kingdom of God, it will never be shaken. It's a firm foundation. That's good news for our candidates today and for all those who are baptized into Christ Jesus, that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hallelujah. Whatever the world wants to throw at us, whatever trials and tribulations and tests and pressure, the good news is that the kingdom of God will not be shaken. Amen. So we're going to sing together. Before we sing, actually, we're going to do the birthday box first. We're going to sing Build Your Kingdom here. But before we do that, we're going to have a time of the birthday box now. If there's any children here or young people that are celebrating a birthday today or in and around this week, please do indicate yourself by raising your hand. Anyone? Oh, yes, of course. Ava, yes. Happy birthday, Ava. Come on up, Ava. You can get a gift from the... Oh, she took one last week. Oh, okay.
Come on. Come on.
Do you want to get another one?
Yes.
Come and get another one. Come and get another one. Which one do you want? Is that the bag she's pointing to? Is Ava's free now, isn't she? Free. Let's sing happy birthday to Ava. God bless you. Is there someone else?
Sorry.
Who? Emily, yes. And Dennis as well. Yeah, happy birthday, Dennis. Happy birthday, Emily. You can come up to the birthday box if you want to. Let's sing happy birthday to Ava, to Dennis, and to Emily. Happy birthday to you. Father, as we come now to worship you, we want to focus our attention on you. Would you receive our worship from the depths of our hearts? May it be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're able to stand or if you want to stay seated, that's absolutely fine. We're going to sing Build Your Kingdom here. For a short, brief period, I just want to share what the Lord has laid on my heart. I wasn't going to preach today, but the Lord said, no, Nathan, you need to share from my word. And he gave me a word especially for the candidates, but also for the church. So I pray that this will be a blessing to you. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to just read two verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2. And it reads like this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. The King James Version says, run with patience. It's giving the idea that this type of race is just not a little run around the block, but this is going to be a long-haul race. It's an endurance race. It's going to require some perseverance and some patience. It goes on to say, the race marked out for us. Verse 2, our final verse. And how are we going to do it? Let's read together. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to speak just for a few moments this morning from this simple question. What now? What now? Now that I'm baptized, what now? What's next? Where do we go from here? It's interesting that Solomon, in the Old Testament, he tells us that there is nothing new under the sun. That from generation to generation, there really isn't anything new under the sun. That's interesting because we know that a lot has changed over the generations. But although methods have changed, although technology has changed drastically, infrastructure has changed, and yes, the Christians in the first century to whom this book of Hebrews was addressed to, they had no idea or concept of Wi-Fi and artificial intelligence. They had no idea about iPhones and Android phones, what I like to call the dumb phones. Yeah, But yet still, Solomon says, there's nothing new under the sun. Because the same question that those first century Christians had to grapple with is the very same question that you and I have to deal with in the 21st century today. What now? What next? Where do we go from here? Now that I am baptized, now that I have obeyed the Holy Scriptures and the apostles of Jesus who said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 that we're to repent and to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then Peter said on that day that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So now that I've done that, now that I've been baptized, I've repented of my sins, I've received Christ into my life, I've received the Holy Spirit into my life, the question is, friends, what next? Where do we go from here? And if we're going to answer this question of what's next, where do we go from here, I believe there's just three brief points that we need to observe that can hopefully help us to navigate the next steps of after baptism. Are you ready for these three steps? Here's the first one. Number one, we have to recognize that baptism is just the beginning. Can you say that with me? Baptism is just the beginning. Baptism is not the be-all and the end-all of the Christian experience. One of the things that the Lord really impressed on my heart this week to share with you today is that it's so important that we don't make water baptism the final resting place and the pinnacle of our Christian experience. Baptism is not the peak of our Christian journey. Baptism is just the beginning. It's just a taste of something even greater to come in the chapters ahead in our lives. I know it's such a blessing every opportunity that the baptistry is open. We sense the buzz and the excitement in the church. It's great. I love it. And even as I was attending the SEBA conference this week, and many ministers were sharing good news of many baptisms in their local churches across the region. That's great. But I felt the Holy Spirit convict me. It's important that we recognize that baptism is not the pinnacle of the Christian journey. It is not the be-all and the end-all of our Christian experience. It's just like a couple who is planning to get married and they spend thousands on their wedding ceremony. I mean, they go to the hills. Everything is perfect. Spend thousands and even some up to millions to have this special day, this iconic day. But sometimes, even when couples have invested fortunes in a wedding day and a wedding ceremony, we know that even the statistics support that half of weddings will end in divorce. It's possible to spend so much money on a wedding day, but if you only are investing in a wedding day and not the marriage, then you will miss out on all that what God wants to do in your life. And it's the same with baptism. If we're only invested and interested in the baptismal day and not the Christian journey ahead, post-baptism, then we will miss out on all that God wants to pour into our lives. I want to encourage the candidates and even those of you who have been baptized many years ago that God wants to do something new in your life. He wants to reveal more of himself to you. Don't close the book after baptism, but open your heart to more and more of what the Lord wants to pour into your life. Amen? But secondly, here's another important point we need to understand, candidates and church. Life after baptism will not always be easy. Would you say that with me? Life after baptism will not always be easy. It's interesting, church, that the writer of the book of Hebrews, he uses the illustration of an athlete who is running a race. And he's trying to paint the picture of our daily Christian lives, living for Christ each day. Paul suggests that our Christian life is analogous to one who is running a race. In other words, if we are going to live for Christ post-baptism, in a world full of distractions, in a world full of temptation, in a world that's full of potholes along the way and worldly passions, Paul says the best way that I can describe this Christian race, it's like an athlete who is running a race. But it's not any kind of race. It's a long, hard-fought type of race. This is not a 100-meter dash and sprint. It's not even a 200-meter sprint. This is not a on your marks, get set, go. And you get to the finish line and it's all over. But this is a long-haul race. In fact, it's more than a marathon. I believe a marathon is around 22 miles, isn't it? Is that correct? 26 miles. But even that pales in comparison to the Christian race that is before each and every one of us. Because the Christian race is not a quick fix. It's not an instant hot chocolate drink. It's not an instant coffee kind of race. Living for Jesus in this day and age, with all of the distractions, it's not like cooking some of those ready meals where you pierce the top of the film and you put it in the microwave for 5 minutes. The Christian race is a slow cooker kind of race. Please know, candidates, and the church can testify of this, you will at times get tired on the race. You will feel a little bit frustrated on this race. You will have some questions in this race. You may even, like the first century Christians, the book of Hebrews, you may have to go through persecution because of your faith. But I want to encourage you today that post-baptism, if life gets hard for you and you have to endure difficult chapters in your life, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't throw in the towel, friends. Keep on moving forward. There's that old song in the world. It says, keep on moving, don't stop. Keep on moving, don't stop. We got to keep it moving. Don't allow the pressures of the world and even the devil to make us become stagnant in our Christian faith. Keep on moving. And it's interesting, finally on this point, I looked at the word here for race. Of course, that the New Testament is written in Greek and Aramaic. And the Greek word that's used here for race is very interesting. The word is agon in Greek. It's where we get the English word agony from. So in other words, what Paul is saying is this kind of race, it's a long endurance race. You're going to have to go through some agony at times on this race. But whatever you do, don't allow the challenges of this life or the disappointments to make you down tools. Don't give up, but keep on going forward in Christ. See, the devil wants you to quit and go back in the opposite direction. But don't listen to his voice. Listen to the voice of Jesus, looking unto him, the pioneer and perfecter of your faith. Amen? But number three, not only is baptism the be-all and the end-all, not only should we understand that the race is a hard-fought race, but here's the third and final point. So important. I believe the candidates and all of us, post-baptism, we have to get very familiar with another type of baptism. Don't just stay stuck on water baptism. But there's another baptism that the Bible calls and Jesus calls. Come on, who knows what I'm talking about? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I think one of the things that we struggle with is we stay stuck on water baptism and we make that the pinnacle of the Christian experience. But there's another baptism, the baptism of the Spirit. And in order for us to run this race of endurance, you and I cannot run this race well if we don't have the Holy Spirit in our lives to lead and to guide us. In this world full of sin, this world full of temptation, this world full of potholes, this world that wants to pull us in all different types of directions, if we don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then we will not be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. I'm not going to name her name, but there's a lady, she knows who I'm talking about. She came to me some months ago, and she said, Nathan, I just feel in my heart that there's more. I'm seeking for more. I'm not comfortable with where I am right now. And I could see the passion in her face. I could see it in her eyes. She couldn't describe it, but she said, Nathan, there's more. There's more. I believe I preached on the Holy Spirit after that Sunday. I'm looking at her, but I'm not going to make out who she is. But I believe that should be the refrain for all of our lives. Let's not become just satisfied But God wants to pour out so much more, but we have to be willing to invite him in. You see, the cross of Jesus saves us. But in order for us to live a fruitful Christian life, we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We can't just say, well, yes, I'm happy with Jesus. I don't know about all this Holy Spirit business. No, no, no. We need the infilling of the Holy Spirit to live a life that will be pleasing in God's sight. Yes, salvation is through Christ and Christ alone, but he sent his Holy Spirit to be our teacher and our guide. So if you don't have the teacher and the guide, then we won't be able to live a fruitful life that honors God each and every day. Look what Acts chapter 1 verse 5 says. Jesus speaking to his apostle, he says, "For John baptized with water. But in a few days, guys, you are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So whatever you do, candidates, church, don't build a house at water baptism. Don't build a monument at water baptism and take your certificate home and say, "Yes, I've arrived." But allow the Holy Spirit within you to ignite a flame. So that you can be led of the Holy Spirit. So that you can move forward in your faith journey. God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. But if we quench the Holy Spirit in our lives, then our faith journey can become stagnant. You see, the Holy Spirit is not just about jumping up and down and speaking in tongues and gifts of healing and all of the miraculous gifts. That's a part of it. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of God within us, it allows us to live a life that is fruitful. The character of Christ. If we are going to show the world a different flavor of how we should live our lives, we need the Holy Spirit to prune us and develop us so that we can show and display the fruit of the Spirit to a world that needs it. So in closing this morning, candidates and to the church, don't be scared of the Holy Spirit. Invite him into your life. Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that when you receive the Holy Spirit, here it is, he says, you will receive power. The Christian life should have power. I don't want to live a Christian life without power. We need the power. That word there is dunamis in Greek. It's where we get the English word dynamite from. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to live this life. He says, what do you need it for? He says, I'm going to give you power to be my witness. If you want to be a witness for Christ in this generation, you need the power of the Holy Spirit to stand boldly and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's interesting. I've begun to notice a little pattern with my daughter, Alessia. It's interesting. I've noticed that I'm, you know, she's a real daddy's girl pretty much at any time of the day. But when it comes to nighttime, she has a change in demeanor. It's all about mommy at nighttime. And I realize, why is it? Why am I, all of, you know, she loves me at any other time of the day, but why is it nighttime? She wants to be with mommy. Then I realize something. Mommy has something that I can't give her. She's a breastfed baby. And as good as daddy is, daddy can smile and play games and have a good time, but she recognizes, even at 5 months, that there's some things that daddy can't give me that I need to get from mommy. Yes, Jesus is enough. Yes, through his death on the cross and his burial and his resurrection, we stand complete in him. But he sent his Holy Spirit. don't Don't deny the power of the Spirit now. Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit in my name. He's going to be your teacher and your guide. So let us embrace all that God wants to pour into our lives. The Holy Spirit, the fruit and the gifts, so that we can live a life that's pleasing in His sight. Amen? Amen. So number one, I hope you get this, candidates. Number one, do you remember the first point? What's the first point? Come on. Huh? Baptism is just the beginning. What's the second point? Life after baptism will not always be easy. But what's the third point? You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. They told me in school the students haven't learned if the teacher hasn't taught or something like that. So I want to make sure we get it. It's important. Make sure we leave candidates. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you don't get anything else, I want you to get that. Seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I know we don't do this anymore. When I was growing up, they would take you to the altar. And they would do what's called a tarrying service. To tarry for the Holy Spirit. And pray for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to come upon you. You don't have to do that today, but whether you pray at home, whether you pray at church, but I believe you should open your heart to the fullness of the Holy Spirit to allow Him to come into your life and take residence in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that water baptism is such a powerful experience. But we thank You that it's not the be and the end all. That there's so much more that You're calling us to. A life and a race that is difficult at times. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, we can run this race with perseverance, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. I pray for the candidates now that, Lord, as they're about to come and be baptized, that they would not just allow this to be a moment that will pass them by, but that this will be the start of a journey of walking with Jesus each and every day. We commit them to You now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, we're going to commence with our baptisms. And first, we're going to invite Fran to come. And she's going to share her testimony of why she wants to be baptized. And then that will be followed by Alicia. And then Abigail. And then Jack will share his testimony. So they're going to share their testimonies one after the other. And then we're going to hear their song. So let's hear their testimony first. And then we'll hear their song. And then we'll proceed to the other testimonies. Coming up, Fran.
Here we are, finally. morning, church. My name is Fran. I'm 23 years old, a mum to two amazing children, Myla and Jackson, and I'm also blessed with a bonus daughter, Bella. When I was younger, I loved church. At 7 years old, I asked to be christened, even though I truly didn't know who Christ was. As I grew up, life slowly pulled me away from my faith. Being adopted as a baby left me many questions no child really knows how to carry. Who am I? Why wasn't I wanted, and what is wrong with me? Those questions followed me into my teenage years. I struggled deeply with my mental health and experienced depression at a young age. I turned to drinking and drugs and thought this was a way out of how I truly felt. I became angry and unable to control my emotions, and I hurt the parents who only ever loved and supported me. Even though I found myself in such a dark place with pain I didn't know how to handle, I felt I didn't know who I was. When I later learned the truth about my adoption and the reasons behind it, the pain cut even deeper. I couldn't understand how someone could choose a lifestyle over their own child, and was shocked at the youngest the danger my younger self had been placed in. But even in all that darkness, Christ was quietly holding on to me. Looking back, I can see God's hand over my life. He placed me in a home where I was loved and safe. He kept me alive through moments I shouldn't have survived. He led me to answers, to contact with my siblings, and most importantly, towards healing. He gave me a partner who loves and supports me in ways I never thought I deserved. A gift I believe God sent exactly the right time. And here we are today, being baptised together. And now he has chosen me to be my children's mother. God was rebuilding what I thought was completely beyond repair. Through Bella and her mum Lacey planting the seed, I became curious about Christ again. On the 20th of September, I came to Sittingbourne Baptist Church. This was my first visit, and from that moment, everything changed. My now sisters in Christ prayed over me, and I felt a warm rush through my body. It was so real that I broke down into tears. From that day on, I haven't looked back. I found forgiveness for those who hurt me. I found peace and purpose, and I finally understand that even when I could only see pain, God was writing my story. And of course, I still have my struggles today, but the difference is I know I'm not walking alone. So today, I stand here to be baptised, not because I am perfect, but because God is faithful. He rescued me, he healed me, and he gave me a future I never imagined. And today, I choose him. Thank you.
Going to hear testimony from Alicia. Come on up, Alicia.
everyone. My name's Alicia. I'm... Oh. Thanks, mate. I'm 36 years old in a week's time. A few months ago, I walked into Sittingbourne Baptist Church on my own. I didn't really know what to expect, but from the moment I stepped through the doors, I felt at home. The warmth, the welcome, and the sense of peace I found here showed me that God had been guiding me long before I realised it. And through this church, I've come to understand his love in a new and personal way. Before that, my life was heading down a reckless path. I was living in a way that was slowly destroying my soul. On the outside, sorry. I probably looked like everything was fine, but inside I felt like I was drowning in my own choices. I was sinking deeper and deeper, and I didn't know how to come back up there. I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know how to save myself. But through his grace, God brought me here. Being part of this church has reminded me what it feels like to belong, not just in a community, but in God's presence. He's shown me that my past doesn't define me and that his love is bigger than every mistake I've ever made. So today I stand here knowing I'm not completely proud of who I used to be, but I'm deeply grateful for who God is shaping me to become. I'm choosing to lay down my old life, my pride, and my reckless ways at his feet. This baptism is more than a moment, it's my surrender. It's my declaration that my past no longer has a hold on me. I belong to Jesus and I'm ready to follow him whenever he leads me. And I'm so grateful to have found a church family and a fresh start in Christ.
Amen.
Come praise the Lord, for he is good. Come join in love and the brotherhood. We'll hear the word and bring our gifts of prayer. And we'll be blessed in every sign. So let us pray together. Pray together. Pray with one body voice. And let us sing together, sing together, pray and we'll rejoice, we'll rejoice. When Spaniel reach out for your hand, respond to them and understand.
Heaven
and faith
to understand.
We'll rise as one to come to stand outside the gate. So let us
pray together, pray together, pray with a one mighty voice. And
let us
sing together, sing together, pray and we'll rejoice, we'll rejoice, we'll rejoice.
Amen. We're now going to have Abigail. Coming up, Abigail.
Hi, everyone. My name's Abigail, and I'm 20 years old. There has been... Sorry.
Hello. I want to start by saying that Jesus had been knocking on my door for a long time, which brings me to Revelation 3, verse 20, when Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." There's been many times he has done things for me and I just did not realize that it was him, his protection, guidance, and unwavering love towards me. My big sister definitely sowed a lot of the seeds. Just hearing her talk to me about her walk with Christ, I could definitely not dismiss it as As time went on, the more and more I heard about what God had done for her, the more I started to wonder whether he is real or not. But her testimonies are undeniable. With me learning about the evolution theory, I always had the question, but what made this? What made that? Or how did that come alive? So I thought there must be a God out there that created everything. I just didn't know him, and I was questioning whether Jesus was real or not. It wasn't until my sister took me to her church where they held an event. That was when I learned about more about Jesus and who he is and what he is like. And as the event was coming to an end, they held a worship evening to close. And as I was singing, my attention suddenly became drawn to the cross at the side of the stage. In those moments during the song, I imagined Jesus dying on the cross. And ever since then, I realized God had been speaking to me the whole time. This became my undeniable proof that Jesus is real to me. And it was the final sign I needed to let him through the door and into my life. As I've grown in my walk, I've personally begun to know God even deeper and his love for all of us in humanity. And I can't wait to get to know him more, even deeper as I surrender all my life to him.
Amen. Last but by no means least, Jack is coming.
Hello. Right. Hi everyone, I'm Jack. For a long time I tried to be strong on my own. I focused on providing, working hard, being the man everyone needed me to be. But inside I was carrying things I never really dealt with. Pride, anger, pressure, and feeling that something was missing. If I'm honest, pride was one of the biggest struggles. I didn't like admitting I was wrong. I didn't like asking for help. I thought being a man meant handling everything myself. I built this image of strength, but really it was just stubbornness and ego. I thought I knew best. I thought I didn't need anyone, especially not God. Part of my story includes going to prison. This happened when I was younger. Before I had children back then, I let my temper lead me. I got into a fight and I hurt someone. That choice changed lives, including mine. It's something I deeply regret. Prison stripped me back. It forced me to face my actions and my pride. I had to sit with the truth that my anger and ego had led me there. I had to admit I wasn't becoming the man I meant to be. What truly changed everything for me was my family, especially my daughter Bella. Watching her faith, her innocence, the way she talks about God so freely. It touched me, something deep in my heart. I realised I didn't just want to tell my children about faith, I wanted to live it. Bella helped soften my heart in a way I didn't expect. Through her, God reached me. My fiancée Francesca has stood by me, encouraged me and supported me as I've grown. And when I look at Bella, Jackson and Myla, I see three reasons to lead differently. To lead with love, patience and self-control. As a dad of three, I feel like a lion protecting his cubs, but I've learned that real strength isn't about fighting or proving yourself. Real strength is about humility. It's about surrendering to Christ. It's about choosing peace when anger feels easier and choosing to say I was wrong when pride wants me to stay silent. When I truly understand Jesus died for my sins, that he loved me despite my past, something broke inside of me in a good way. My pride started to fall. I realised that I don't have to live defined by my worst mistakes. I don't want to carry that guilt anymore. My strength now comes from him, not from pretending I've got it all together. This isn't about leaving the old me behind. It's about rising as the new man in him. My pride kept me from God, but his grace was stronger than my ego. The man who walked into prison years ago, not the man standing here today. Jesus changed my heart, and from this day forward, my life belongs to him. Amen. Thank you.
Jack is living proof of what Jesus can do in your life. Doesn't matter how far you've fallen, the grace of the Lord Jesus is available for you. His grace can reach you, whether you're in prison, bondage, depression, alcohol dependency, whatever the addiction may be, the grace of Jesus Christ can reach you. Just as he saved Jack, he can save you today. I don't know who this is for, but that testimony really, that's powerful. Jesus can change your life. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus for yourself, get to know him. Get to know Jesus. He'll do something great in your life. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing the song that Jack has requested for us to sing. Let's sing just the few lines of this beautiful song. Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus, our Savior. This I believe, the creed. Let's sing together. Our Father. I believe. the name of Jesus. Please do take your seats, church. We're now going to proceed with the baptisms. Francesca's coming up first.
Go, Fran.
Yeah, we're going to do this, yeah. Now, let me say again, those, yes, are making their way. If you've been asked to pray for the candidates, please make your way to the side. So please make your way to the side if you've been asked to pray for the candidates. Thank you.
Yourself to following and serving Christ in his church and in the world.
Yes.
Francesca, on your profession of faith and at your own request, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Alicia, on the profession of your faith,
At your own request, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Personal Savior and Lord?
Yes.
Abigail, do you commit yourself to following and serve Christ in His church and in the world?
Yes.
Abigail, on the profession of your own faith, and your own request, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Jack, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour and Lord?
Yes.
Do you commit yourself to following and serving Christ in His church and in the world?
Yes.
Jack, on your profession of your faith and at your own request, we're going to baptise you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
We're about to draw our service to a close. I know we've gone a little bit over our time today, but I'm sure you can appreciate we had a lot to get through today. But thank you so, so much. Thank you so much, especially for visitors, those of you who've come as part of family and friends of those of the candidates. Thank you so, so much for coming. And we pray that you are blessed by the service today. Now, before we pray the benediction, if anyone was touched by the service today, if you would like to talk to someone, if you'd like some further prayer, we have a prayer corner, which is to my right, the back, that corner in the back, to your left. If you want to meet at the end of the service for prayer, if you just want to talk to someone, if you have some questions about the Christian faith, if you want to get to know more about the gospel, more about this local church, if you have any questions, then please feel free to stop by the prayer corner, and there'll be some prayer partners there that will be willing to meet with you, to pray with and for you. Amen. And if there's anyone that wants to make a decision for Jesus Christ today, the gospel has gone forth and you've heard personal testimonies. You've heard testimonies from the book of Hebrews, the Christians in the first century, and real life modern day Christians in the 21st century today. You've heard personal examples. So if you want to know Jesus for yourself, then today you can get to know him. Is there anyone that wants to know Jesus today? Is there anyone that wants to know him? Please raise your hand. If you want to know him, we'd love to pray for you. If you're here today and you want to know Jesus, we would love to extend an opportunity for you to be saved. Anyone? No? Okay. Well, if you do have any further questions, please feel free to grab me after the service or anyone of our leadership team. Also, if you are a believer and you want to be baptized and you've not yet been baptized, then we will be looking to plan another baptismal service in the future. So if, again, if you want to be baptized, come and see me, and I'll jot your name down, and I'll let you know when the next baptismal classes will be starting. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Let's pray, and we're going to have a prayer for Fran and for Jack. They are recently engaged, and they'll be getting married. It's this year, isn't it? Next year they'll be getting married. So we're going to pray for them with the family at the conclusion of the service. Let's pray now as we draw this service to a close. Father, we thank you so much Thank you so much for Francesca, for Jack, for Abigail, for Elisha. Oh Lord, thank you for what you have done in their lives. And we have all been blessed and impacted by their testimonies. It's such a blessing to know that you are still touching people's lives, that you are still opening hearts to the glorious light and love of your good news. And we pray that you'll continue to touch many more lives in this community, that you'll touch many more lives in our families, amongst our friends, that they will too come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. Father, as we draw this service to a close, but we never be benedicted from your presence until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. God bless you all. We do have evening service this evening at 6:30. So if you're able to join us this evening, feel free to join us. God bless you all. Yeah, you open the mountains, yeah.